And welcome back to another episode of Questions of Faith with our very own official from the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, Monsignor John Kennedy.
Hello, Eimear. Great to see you again today.
It's good to see you too. Well, today we're going to talk about a topic that's of interest to many pilgrims and visitors to Rome, but perhaps that a topic that not everybody is aware of, or a subject that not everybody is aware of, and that is the Angelus. First of all, what is the Angelus prayer?
The Angelus is a rather well-known prayer. And in fact, the word Angelus, which is Latin, is the word for angel. You know, when you see it in Latin, Angelus, you say, oh yes, angel. I know girls called Angela. So the name Angelus is in fact taken from the first line of the prayer, which in Latin is Angelus Domini Nunciavit Mariae. And in English, that would be the angel of the Lord declared unto Mary. Essentially, the Angelus is a distinctively Catholic prayer. It's a prayer of homage, a prayer of praise to our Lord and to his Blessed Mother Mary. Anyone who prays the Angelus frequently will know that it's a very short, but yet very beautiful prayer that we usually recite twice or even three times a day. Most people would say it at midday and again at 6 o'clock in the evening. But for those who would say it a third time a day, they would do it at 6 in the morning. Like the bell that often rings before Mass, let's say 15 minutes before Mass begins, the Angelus prayer is also accompanied by the ringing of a bell in some places, I'll give you an example, Vatican City, and also some parts of Germany and our own country, Ireland. Those who gather in St. Peter's Square just before 12 o'clock every Sunday to pray the Angelus with Pope Francis, often between 70, 80, 90, 100,000 people most weekends, will no doubt, just before Pope Francis appears at the window, will hear the very chiming the sweet sounds of the small bell in the Cortile San Damaso, which is a courtyard around the Apostolic Palace. And just before the Pope appears to the window, you can hear those chimes ringing, announcing the Angelus. Then the Pope appears on the third floor at his window, which looks directly into St. Peter's Square. Speaking about bells, I know that some parishes around the world have programmed their electronic bells to ring automatically at midday for the Angelus and again at 6 o'clock in the evening. Some of them then have also inserted a musical card into it, which enables the system to play hymns to Mary for about a minute or so. So it gives the people, if they're passing by on the way home from work, for example, they hear the bells and they might think, oh, I could pray the Angelus, or maybe say a prayer to Our Lady, a chance to pause and to pray in what is always a very busy day. In the parish I go to in New York, which is the parish of St. Bartholomew the Apostle in Yonkers, the parish priest had the bells reprogrammed because up the hill there's a church called Sacred Heart and they have a very nice medley of Marian hymns which they play at 12. So perhaps, maybe not to be outdone, the pastor in St. Bartholomew's decided, I can do this too. So he got in touch with the company and they came and they reprogrammed the bells. So it plays the chimes at midday and then it actually does some more hymns, some very famous Marian hymns and sometimes even a Eucharistic hymn at 12 and at 6. Our listeners in Ireland might know that just before our main evening news at 6 o'clock on the television, there's a one-minute television programme at which the Angelus bell forms the background. It shows images of people doing various different things, people pausing in a reflective way, and the radio news at midday is often always accompanied by a one-minute chiming programme during which people can actually pause and pray. And I'm sure throughout the world there are similar reminders in various different countries.
So somewhat like the Divine Office, the Liturgy of the Hours, the Angelus, this Marian prayer, this very Marian prayer, is another way to help us to pause and pray throughout the day.
It's true, our lives are so busy and so infrequently we have the chance to actually pause, catch a breath, It also gives us a chance to touch base again with God, to literally plug our spiritual lives into the life of God, to almost like receive a top-up of God's grace by turning our hearts, turning our lives to God, even for a brief minute. It has enormous fruits and bears great advantages in our spiritual life.
So for many of the listeners and viewers who perhaps are thinking of coming here to Rome during this year of faith, they should know that the Angelus prayer is prayed at noon every Sunday by Pope Francis from the window of his study, as he pointed out, in the Apostolic Palace. And if they want to during the year of faith, there's also a Mass in English available at the Church of Santo Spirito in Sassia, which is literally just a 2-minute walk from St. Peter's Square and finishes just in time to let them leave the church after Mass and go and pray the Angelus with the Holy Father. You've often celebrated at that Mass.
That's true. The Mass begins at 10 o'clock and it goes for an hour. So there's a chance to meet the sisters and the priest who organises the Mass and meet the community afterwards. And then there's even time for coffee if you want. And then stroll over to St. Peter's Square, join the entire Universal Church praying with the Pope. And if you don't actually have great familiarity, because the Pope prays the Latin Angelus and you mightn't be familiar with Latin, but you could download it on the internet. And if you look up to the main TV screens, you'll see that they have the text up there. And just to familiarise yourself with the two, but pray in any language you want. The important thing is to pray it with the Pope.
My question is, how long does it take to pray the Angelus Prayer? And what is the format of the Angelus Prayer?
People might be surprised to know that this is a prayer that takes about 1 minute to say. So it doesn't occupy a huge amount of your time. Essentially, the form of the prayer evolved around the practice of praying three Hail Marys following an evening prayer. And that was way back in the 12th century. And it's changed a little bit since then, in the sense that it's become a little bit longer and there've been a few more little trimmings, you could say, added to it. I read somewhere that the initial recitation of the Angelus goes back to the Parma, in where the lovely famous ham comes from in Italy, in the year 1318. And in that town, there was an order actually given that all people had to pray an Our Father and three Hail Marys, and then they would receive a blessing of peace. And around that time as well, there was a bell which was rung, which was known as the Peace Bell. And there was a similar practice in England as well.
Is the Angelus something we say all year round? I mean, I'm thinking perhaps of the period following Easter. There are some variations to the actual recitation of this prayer, isn't it?
According
to the liturgical season.
Yeah, absolutely correct. For the most part, the Angelus is prayed throughout the year. But what people might not be aware of is around the time of Easter, up to far as Pentecost, the Angelus prayer is substituted by another prayer. It's much shorter, it's very beautiful, it's called the Regina Caeli. That's Latin, of course, and in English that means Queen of Heaven. And it takes the name from an Easter hymn, which was composed and dedicated to Our Lady, which is actually only 4 lines long. So the Regina Caeli is really a wonderful tribute to Our Lady and a wonderful tribute to our Lord's resurrection, and goes back to the 13th century as well. Can I explain for our listeners the text of the Regina Caeli? 4 lines, as I said. The first is, Queen of Heaven, rejoice, alleluia, for he whom you were worthy to bear, alleluia, has risen as he said, alleluia. And then it concludes, pray for us to God, alleluia. So very Easter in its tone, with all the alleluias at the end of each verse.
And similar to the Angelus, it's also underscoring Mary's role in our salvation history, isn't it?
Absolutely. In fact, Mary being the finest, the first, the best, the closest disciple of the Lord, she's the one who accepted God's word, gave birth to Christ, stood at the cross, was there with the apostles in the upper room when the Holy Spirit came down, was given to John. John was given to her. Mary has her whole life has been intertwined with the life of Jesus and continues to be an accompaniment in the church throughout the entire world until Christ comes again.
So anybody who wants to pray this prayer, this Angelus prayer, or begin praying it as a way of drawing closer to their faith in their everyday life, as you said, it takes 1 minute, perhaps at noon, perhaps at 6. Can you give them a few more indications about the structure of the prayer, how to go about praying it?
Absolutely. You can, if you're unfamiliar with the prayer, and you can dig out an old catechism from your school, maybe that was a page that you missed, maybe you were sick that day, you can go back and have a look at it then. Look on the internet and you'll find it. Put in Angelus prayer in English, and you'll get the whole text as well. If you've got the Catechism of the Catholic Church, you'll find it there too. It's available everywhere.
Before we look at what the popes have to say about the Angelus, I thought perhaps it'd be better to ask a very simple question that was sent in to us by a listener, which is, why do we pray the Angelus prayer?
Well, a good way, I suppose, to pray the Angelus prayer and to see all prayer is that it is a dialogue between ourself and God. The Angelus prayer is a reminder, of course, of the great events that led to Christ coming into the world in the womb of the Virgin Mary. We remember, if we look at the Gospels, how the angel Gabriel appeared to and dialogued with Mary. And when we pray the Angelus, we call to mind or bring to the forefront of our lives the great story of how Mary received the angel and then received, Christ in her womb to become the mother of God. In fact, the Angelus reminds us not only of what happened, but also why this happened and why the angel Gabriel came to Mary. It tells the story of the great Annunciation, when Gabriel appeared to Mary and told her not only good news for herself, but indeed for the entire human race. If you want to see what the whole story is, we have to then go to chapter 1 of St. Luke's Gospel. And if I can read the passage for you, it really helps us to understand and put it all in context. In chapter 1 of Luke's Gospel, we read, "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, 'Greetings, favoured one, the Lord is with you.' But she was much perplexed by these words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favour with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end.' Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be, since I am a virgin?' The angel said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month for her, who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God.' Then Mary said, 'Here am I, the servant of the Lord, let it be with me according to your word.' Then the angel departed from her."
Once again, this is one of the prayers that does, and indeed this gospel passage underlines the fundamental role that Mary had in our salvation history. But why did God choose Mary?
For God, Mary, looking back, I would say, was the perfect choice. She had been conceived without sin, as later defined in the Church's dogma of the Immaculate Conception. When you look at the text of the Gospel of Luke, we see that Mary didn't have, if you like, high notions about herself. She didn't have wouldn't be putting herself up on billboards, you would say. On the contrary, she was very humble. She described herself as a servant of the Lord in that Angelus. And we see in this her humility and also her sincerity. She saw herself first and foremost as God's servant, seeking glory for God and not for herself. And in doing this, she became, as St. Augustine would have put it very poetically, he said, "a heavenly ladder by which God came into the world, descending from earth, from heaven to earth, to become flesh in her womb." Mary was, you could say, very happy to have God working through her. She became a vessel, an instrument in God's hands, and she expressed this great theology, this great spirituality, her whole outlook on life in that beautiful canticle, which is a gospel New Testament hymn called the Magnificat. Remember, she says, my soul magnifies the Lord and my spirit rejoices in God, my Saviour. And then St. Paul, a little bit later in the New Testament, he echoes this wonderful sentiment of Mary when he says that he who boasts, let him boast in the Lord. In other words, we don't boast about ourselves. We boast about what God does for us and the great works that he can accomplish through our willingness to cooperate with his will. So in many ways, by praying the Angelus, by taking this 1 minute out of your day, or two if you say the evening as well, you try to model your life on Mary and you ask God to make yourself more willing to obey his will so that he can actually work in you and in all of us more effectively.
But perhaps the most famous place that it is actually prayed is here in Vatican City State by the Holy Father. He leads the faithful in the praying of the Angelus prayer, the recitation of the Angelus prayer, each Sunday at noon. We hear the canons sounding from the Janiculum Hill. We hear the bells intoning, the great bells in St. Peter's Basilica, and the windows open to the cheers of the crowds who gather in increasing numbers, I've noticed, over the last few months and weeks to pray this prayer with the Pope, Pope Francis, of course, but before him, Benedict XVI, before him, John Paul II. It's a tradition that goes quite far back. So today we want to find out about the Angelus and the popes. Why?
When you step into St. Peter's Square, it's impossible not to have your eyes drawn up to that window where, as you said, the popes in our lifetime, and you've named all three, have come on a regular basis on Sundays and on feast days to lead the faithful, to lead the entire universal church in the recitation of this 1 minute short, profound, beautiful prayer honouring Our Lady and giving God thanks for the birth of his Son as the Saviour of all mankind. If you want to read all of the comments and all of the commentaries and the homilies and the spiritual thoughts that have been handed on by the popes down through the years, you're really going to have a large task ahead of you. Maybe something that might help you in doing this is to go to the Vatican website, which is www.vatican.va. And there's a search engine there where if you put in the name of a pope and put in Angelus, you're going to find various different messages that they've given down through the decades. I'd like just for our listeners to single out two of perhaps the more recent messages, very different in their style, very different in their content, but at the same time, they have the same focus on Mary. Could I begin perhaps with Pope Francis? He highlighted how Mary accompanies all of us on our journey in life, particularly, and this is something we can feel very, very assured by him because he understands our difficulties, particularly when things get difficult for us. Pope Francis says, let us entrust our praise to the hands of the Virgin Mary. She, the most humble of creatures, give thanks to Christ. She's already in the glory of the Trinity. For this reason, Mary, our Mother, our Lady, shines for us as a sign of sure hope. She is the mother of hope. On our journey, on our way, she is the mother of hope. She's also the mother who comforts us, the mother of consolation, and the mother who accompanies us on the journey. Let us now pray to Our Lady all together, our mother who accompanies us on our way. So the great, spiritual guidance, the support that we have from Mary as we journey through our earthly existence. Look a little bit earlier this year and we had Pope Benedict who had these inspiring words to offer. He said, dear brothers and sisters, may this word of God revive in us and in our Christian communities courage, confidence and enthusiasm in proclaiming and witnessing to the gospel. Do not let failures and difficulties lead to discouragement. It is our task to cast our nets in faith. The Lord will do the rest. Because that's a specific reference, of course, to the words of Jesus to Peter. And then he goes on to say, we must trust too in the intercession of the Virgin Mary, the Queen of Apostles. Well aware of her own smallness, she answered the Lord's call with total confidence. Here I am, she said. With her maternal help, let us renew our willingness to follow Jesus, Master and Lord.
It really is an idea of how the popes have always used this appointment, this weekly appointment. And sometimes it is their only weekly public appointment when we're not in the season for general audiences with the faithful. The Angelus always continues, even when the Vatican closes down for summer. And the Pope, if he goes to Castel Gandolfo or if he goes on holidays, he always respects his appointment to pray the Angelus prayer at noon on Sunday, wherever he is in the world. Isn't
it's
that true?
True. And, you know, I've seen pilgrims coming into St. Peter's Square expecting him to be there. And then they might say, oh, is the Pope coming out? Because we don't see the usual red drape hanging from his window. But then, of course, what's wonderful is with the TV screens in St. Peter's Square, when he's in Castel Gandolfo, Pope Benedict will always have the transmission sent live to St. Peter's Square. So the faithful gathered in different places, all united in prayer with the Pope for the church. A short prayer, as we said, a prayer of hope and encouragement, a prayer that lifts up our hearts in praise.
Angelus Domini nunciavit Mariae,
et concepit de Spiritu Sancto.
Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum, benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Iesus.
Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostre. Amen.
Ecce ancilla Domini.
Fiat mihi secundum verbum tuum.
Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum, benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Iesus.
Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostre. Amen.
Et verbum caro factum est,
ed habitavit in nobis.
Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum, benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Iesus.
Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostre. Amen.
Ora pro nobis, Santa Dei Genitris.
Udini et officiamur promissionibus Christi.
Oremus. Gratiam tuam, quae sumus Domine, mentibus nostris infunde, ut qui angelo nunciante Christi fili tui incarnationem coniobimus, per passionem eius et crucem, a resurrectionis gloriam perducamur, preunde in Christum Dominum nostrum.
Amen.
Gloria Patri et Filio et Spiritui Sancto.
Sic ut erat in principio, et nunc et semper, et in saecula saeculorum. Amen.
Gloria Patri et Filio et Spiritui Sancto.
Sic ut erat in principio, et nunc et semper, et in saecula saeculorum. Amen.
Gloria Patri et Filio et Spiritui Sancto.
Sic ut erat in principio, et nunc et semper, et in saecula saeculorum. Amen.
Pro fidelibus defuntis, requiem aeternam dona eis Domine.
Et lux perpetua luce a teis.
Requiescant in pace.
Amen.
Sit nomen Domini benedictum.
Ex hoc nunc et usque in saeculum.
Adiutorum nostrum in nomine Domini.
Qui fecit caelum et terra.
Benedicat vos omnipotens Deus, Pater, et Filius, et Spiritus Sanctus.
Amen.
Angelus
praying the Angelus prayer, praying to Mary, is a way that we also enter into dialogue with her. In my own vocation to married life, I found that Mary has been a great role model, her patience, her fortitude. And I've seen with the popes and with other priests who have particular devotions also to Mary, that this is also the case. So my question today is, why is Mary so important as an inspiration, particularly in vocations?
I think everybody has a different account to share of the role of Mary in their life. I could tell you lots of different stories. We were taught to pray as children. The Hail Mary became part of our daily recitation. We weren't a family that prayed the rosary in common, but we were, you know, encouraged to pray it in our own time. I remember as a teenager going to bed and very often maybe falling asleep halfway through the rosary, finding the rosary under the pillow in the morning. In school, we would always pause for the Angelus at 12. I remember when I was contemplating becoming a priest in school, there was a Christian brother who helped us to discern our vocation, got a few of us together and we had evening prayer, including the recitation of the rosary. In parish life too, you'll find that the rosary is a very inspirational prayer, uniting families, uniting parishes. the amount of funerals I've done, and it's always typical to men to pray a decade of the rosary gathered in the presence of the remains, or certainly when you're actually in the cemetery as well. And in most recent years, I've been living at the German College here in Rome, which is dedicated to Our Lady. So I find that looking back, Mary has been accompanying me and my family down through the years, all in different ways, very often new and creative ways, sometimes in ways that you wouldn't expect. And just maybe one more idea on this. Walking down through the streets of Rome, you look at the various different artworks high up on buildings, especially near streetlights. You can often find little frescoes and little statues and reliefs of Mary, a reminder that she's with us all around, accompanying us on our journey.
In fact, and perhaps it might be a fitting way to conclude our Question of Faith series on the Angelus prayer by praying the Angelus together for all of our listeners, their families and their loved ones, and trying to encourage them to integrate this beautiful and very unique devotion into their daily lives. So perhaps if you would lead and I will respond.
I'd be delighted to. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary,
and she conceived of the Holy Spirit.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and in the end of our death. Amen.
Behold, the handmaid of the Lord.
Be it done unto me according to thy word.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and in the end of our death. Amen.
And the word was made flesh,
and dwelt among us.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and in the end of our death. Amen.
Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God,
that we may be made worthy of the promise of Christ.
Let us pray. Pour forth, we beseech thee, O Lord, thy grace into our hearts, that we, to whom the incarnation of Christ thy Son was made known by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of his resurrection through the same Christ our Lord.
Amen. Thank you very much, Monsignor Kennedy. That brings us to the end of this cycle, looking at the Angelus prayer and its role within our daily lives. And next, in the next episode, we will be looking at a question sent in to us by a listener on how we measure, as Christians, success. So once again, all of our listeners and viewers who want to send in their own questions to Monsignor Kennedy, please feel free to do so on our email. That's english@vatiradio.va or through our English section Facebook page. Thank you, Monsignor Kennedy.
Great. See you next time, Mira.
See you next time.